We'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And to take for our text, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we approach thy throne of mercy this morning, knowing that there is still mercy for your children while your Son is on your throne, making intercession for our confession. For we know that it is you that has come down in this hour with a shout to gather together your elect. And we know that you are here, placing all things under the feet of your Son, Jesus. Therefore, we come into thy presence with reverence and thanksgiving in our hearts for what you have done for your children in this hour, having come down to us with a message to bring us your very mind and to get us ready to meet your Son, Jesus, in the air. Help us this morning, Father, to receive from thy word, for we know that your word is God-breathed, and that it is good for correction and righteousness. For we need to be corrected whenever and wherever we have drifted from your perfect will. Help us, Father, to become more obedient towards your will, even as your eldest Son, Jesus, gave us the example as to how to conduct ourselves in a world that is so wicked and yet so alluring. We ask all of this, Father, in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now this morning we will again study from Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And we will be examining paragraph 39 this morning, which deals with the subject of the masterpiece as a reflection of the mind of the sculptor. Now we read from our text in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. Therefore I would like to read this verse of Scripture from several other translations as we discuss this thought of what it means to be a reflection of the mind of the great sculptor. From the Diaglot translation, the same verse reads, "For now we see through a dim glass obscurely, but then shall we see face to face." What does it mean to see through a dim glass obscurely? Brother Steve, what does the word obscure mean? Okay, hard to see, not clearly visible. And notice we read from the Amplified Version, the same verse, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, a blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or an enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly. But then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God." Now with these verses of Scripture in mind, I'd like to turn to the masterpiece, paragraph 39, and read what Brother Branham had to say here. "After that he had spent all that time, for years and years, to make this, then under the influence of seeing fulfilled what he had seen in his heart and in his vision, and desired to see that it was completed. And when it was completed, he struck it." He was so inspired by it until he thought his own masterpiece should speak back to him. And he struck it across the leg and he hollered, "Speak!" And it made a flaw on it. It put a flaw on the image. To me, the flaw was what made it the masterpiece. Now, maybe to the mind that might think different, you think that that spoiled it. No, to me, it made it what it was. Because after so many years of careful work and toil and inspiration and so forth of making it, his toil had proved not to be in vain. It was perfect, and that's why he cried out, "Speak." Because he'd seen him before him, that he had been able to achieve, to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind, and therefore under inspiration he'd done something out of reason, out of the ordinary. He struck it and he hollered, "Speak." See, he wouldn't have done that if he'd have thought, but he didn't think. It was inspiration of seeing what he had in his mind, setting there perfectly before him. His toils and wearies and long nights and housed away from the world for days and maybe eat a sandwich and rub on it and get back on and no, that's just not the way it ought to, that it was. Now it's got to come down to this and rubbing it. Then when he saw it just perfect, then he saw in reality the negative of what was in his mind had become real. It become positive. Therefore it sprung into him and it was so real that he must cry out, speak. To me, it was a reflection. It was a compliment to his work, that his own work so inspired him that he would become beside himself to smite it and to say, speak. Now, I would like to take our thoughts this morning on this reflection, which Brother Branham further defined as the negative coming into the positive. We read for our text this morning how that through the ages man has looked into the mercy of God and into the mirror of the Word. But it appeared blurry. It appeared darkened. But we have a promise that when that which is perfect is come, then the blurry and the darkness of the Word will disappear. Now, several translations of this verse call this blurry condition an enigma. They say, for now we see in a mirror, now we see in a mirror in an enigma, but then face to face. So what does it mean by using the word enigma? What is an enigma anyway? The American Heritage Dictionary tells us that an enigma is the text that is puzzling. It's text that is ambiguous or inexplicable, perplexing, or written in such a way as to be almost a riddle. So what we are reading in the scripture, what Paul tells us is now we look through the word as a riddle. It's a puzzle. It's mysterious. But then we'll know as we're known. Then, in that hour, when we see him face to face. Amen. And that is exactly what God said that his word was. God wrote his word in such a way as to hide it from the wise and prudent, and yet he reveals it to babies. Just little babes, such as would be willing to learn. It just goes to show that when people can't understand it, it's because they're not willing to learn. Because he said he would reveal it to babes such as would learn. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Notice, we speak the word of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And this same apostle who said that we speak the word in a mystery, in an enigma, in a way which is blurring and full of riddles. Yet this is the man who wrote most of the New Testament. So we see that the Word of God was written in such a way that unless God reveals it to you, you will never be able to understand it. Therefore, it is written in an enigma. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, now you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand, but with your eyes you look at anything, but with what's on the inside of you, that's what you understand with. You see with that. You see, with the eyes of God, you look. Well, what if you don't have the eyes of God? How are you going to see? Paul said, the only way you can understand a man is that you have the spirit of a man. That's why men and women have such a terrible time understanding each other. Honestly, I say that to be the truth. Women have the mind of a woman. A man has the mind of a man. They think differently. Men are more... like engineers, and men are more analytical in their approach. Women are more, they deal with what they see, taste, feel, smell, hear. That's their world, you see? And also they deal with the emotions and all those complex things that men don't understand. But men look into things that are more analytical. Men look into what could be. Men dream a lot. And hoping in the dreaming that there'll be a fulfillment someday. So, but he said, but how could a man understand the things of God if he doesn't have the Spirit of God? You see? How can you understand the things of man if you're not a man? How can you understand the things of God if you're not God or you don't have his mind? You see? And so when God wrote his word, he wrote it for those who could receive his mind, that they might understand it. All others it was written so that they wouldn't understand. It would be a riddle to them. It would be an enigma. Jesus tells us the same thing in Matthew 11, chapter 25, or verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said unto thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And again in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 21, in that hour Jesus in spirit said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So it was good for God to hide his word. It was good for God to write the word as an enigma, something blurry, something full of riddles, so that people couldn't understand it. And notice that Jesus even tells us that it seemed good in God's sight to do this. And in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, we hear the account of the apostles asking Jesus why, when he spoke, he used parables, which were like riddles to the people. Why did he speak in such a way that they were like parables, like riddles to the people? And Jesus answered them in Matthew 13, verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. You see, they don't really understand. And hearing, they hear not. Neither, he said, do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should have to heal them. So we see that Jesus spoke in an enigma, in a way that kept the understanding hidden from those who were not meant to understand it. Now we are also told that the time when the hidden things and the dark things will be exposed or revealed is when the Lord himself shall come as a light and will bring that light of his glorious presence, the revelation of those things hidden and those things that are dark, and he'll bring them to our attention. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both, now this both means that there are two things that he will do, who both, number one, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and number two, he will make manifest the counsels of the heart. That means that he will discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's discernment. And then shall every man have praise of God. So at the time when God comes down as a light and performs the discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that's when he's going to bring all things that were hidden into full view. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, I believe it is, or 5, in verse, chapter 5, verse 3. He says, those things which are hidden are revealed by the light, for light is what makes manifest. So you see, we have already read, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so when the partial understanding of what the Word of God will be done away at the time of the glorious presence of the perfect one. And if you have only a partial understanding, then you have a wrong understanding. And when that partial understanding or that wrong understanding is done away, that means that if we have a partial understanding, we have a wrong understanding or a dark understanding. But when the partial understanding is done away, then we have a full understanding. And when will that take place? We are told in 1 John 3 and verse 2, beloved ones, now children of God we are, and not yet as it brought to light, but we shall be. We know, but that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he truly is. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, we read, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall manifest in his true character, we'll manifest in our true character. Why? Because we see him as he is, we become who we really are. The Amplified says, beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. It takes the seeing him as he is for you to know who you are. And Brother Bramson, when the bride comes to the place where she knows who she is, that's when she's going to go. From a man that can turn on the light, Brother Branham said, now the seed was already upon the earth. I believe God had planted the seed. And just as long as the sun could get to that seed, it began to grow. And that's the reason it only takes days to bring forth these things, because the seed was already in the earth. All it needed was light. And that's the way God has today. His seed is already here, His Word. I like that. The written Bible has been here. We didn't just get it today. It's always been here. That seed's been in the earth. The only thing it needs is light on it. And He is that light, for He is the Word. The Word and the light is the same thing. The Word is there. The life in there is the light of the Word, see? Is the life. The germ of life lays in that grain, and the grain is, the life is what brings forth the life out of the grain. That's the way that Christ in the Word makes the Word do what it is supposed to do. Light brings life. Plant the weed out here, and you put it in a basement, cover it all over, and it'll never bring forth anything, because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as it strikes light, as soon as the light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germinated seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See, the Word is God, and when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. And from a man that can turn on the light, Brother Ram said, there's nothing can give you life but the spoken Word of God. Life only comes by the light. So with people that would walk out from the message, walk out from the light of God, you think there's life there? I don't think so. So we see that the manifesting of Himself to us brings revelation to us of Himself. For God interprets His own Word by bringing it to pass. But even more importantly than that is the fact that we have this great promise that when He shall manifest in His true character, so shall we manifest in our true character. And that is why I believe that if the Word of God is being truly presented in an open and an unhidden manner, and you cannot hide it if you tried, and when that Word is presented in such a way, you will manifest who you are, and you will make known the counsel of your own heart, and you will not escape it, for as surely as light makes manifest in the natural what the life is in the seed, so too the light of the glorious presence coming forth from any vessel that is perfectly reflecting that light, it will most assuredly cause all that sit under that ministry or come in contact with that ministry to become exposed as to just what they are. It doesn't matter if they're elect or non-elect. And those who do not like what they see in themselves will not stay around to receive more exposing of themselves. And that's why they leave the church. And that is why the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. There's your difference between the elect and the non-elect. The elect of God, they can't help but come to the light. They know it hurts sometimes. And yet they know that when that scouring out comes, there's a beautiful peace that follows. But the non-elect don't like that scouring time. They don't like the perfect Word showing them their imperfection. I think the glorious fact that the elect of God know who they are, and when the light exposes their seed, it doesn't bother them that they're imperfect, because they know there is a perfect one whose blood makes them perfect in the presence of God. You see, that's the difference. That's the difference. From the Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, and a true minister of God don't reflect some flashlight, some match stem, some shuck a burning. He reflects the golden rays of Christ to the church, that He's the same and He's alive and He shine on me. Amen. That's the light that He reflects. The star reflects the light of the sun, see? So we're reflecting the light of the Son of God, doing the same thing that He did, giving light. I want you to think about that. You see, the Son of God was not the reflection. He was the reflector. The prophet of God was not the reflection. He was the reflector of the reflection. The reflection is Christ, the anointing. The nature of God upon the vessel. Therefore, the fivefold ministry is not a reflection. And the bride of Christ is not a reflection. They are the reflector of the great light that is reflecting itself in that vessel. From Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, Christ is alive. He's in us. Not some nail or piece of cloth or piece of bone or something. He's the living God, living in us now, manifesting himself. We only have one article of a memorial, and that's the Lord's Supper, commemoration of his death. But as far as Christ, he is with us and in us. And that's the thing that we want to wave, the glory of the Holy Spirit to the world. Wave it until the light goes out. All right. The ministers that kept and brought that light and held it back like the original at the beginning and brought the light through. And remember, the seven stars was in his right hand. Just think. They were drawing their current, their light from him. They were completely under his control in his right hand. Oh, every true servant of God is the same way. In Revelation 21:23, if you want to put it down, in the New Jerusalem, 21:23, he is the Lamb. That's in the city. That's the light thereof, shining. For they needed no light in that city. The sun shall not rise in it, because the Lamb, which is in the midst of the city, shall be the light thereof. And the nations that are saved shall walk in the light of the Lamb. Amen. He is the Lamb's light. Would you like to have his life living in you, reflecting his presence? Christ standing in the midst of his people, them seven golden candlesticks reflecting his radiance like the sun in the middle of its heat? Now, how can a fivefold ministry then reflect the light so perfectly? He can only do this as he aligns himself to that light coming forth from the prophet of this age. For God truly shall do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. If you stand in front of a mirror, and the first time I saw this, I was trying on a suit. We were married, just young married couple at the time, And I was standing at, I don't know if it was Value City or someplace like that. And I was standing and they had these mirrors that were three-sided. And I stood in front of one mirror to get this angle. I stood in front of this mirror to get another angle. And I looked in this one to get a straight-on angle. And then I kind of curved this one in and I could see this, I could see two angles at once. Well, then I stepped back and I put the two mirrors together and I could see just a million mirrors. I could see into eternity. If I could have perfectly lined that up, so perfect, that there was not an angle difference, I'd see plumb into eternity that way. Couldn't count the number of mirrors. Couldn't count the number of images you'd see. And if we can so perfectly line up with the Word of God, then this time will blend with eternity. This dimension we're living, the three, will blend with the eternal dimensions. From the Smyrnian church age, Brother Brown said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. The prophet first receives it from God. The light comes to the prophet. He then begins to reflect it out. He lines up with that light. If he doesn't line up with that light, there's no reflection. So the prophet is a reflector. He lines up with that light, and when he begins to reflect it, then the fivefold ministry line up with that light that's coming from the prophet, the vessel. They line up with it and begin to reflect it. Then the people line up with that. They begin to reflect it. Brother Bram said, from things that are to be, a prophet is a reflector of God. He is made so that he cannot speak his own words. It has to be God's words that he speaks. He is just like a reflector, and he is God's mouthpiece. That's why he said, them that received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That means that he gave them the ability to make a right decision. He gave them the ability to receive the mind of Christ. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Because unless you have the mind of Christ, you don't know what he's saying. The words are an enigma. From things that are to be, Brother Brown said, a prophet is a reflector of God. And from God's only provided place of worship, he said, a prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike that reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with that reflection. God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See? Nothing else can do it. You are a reflector, and that's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason that he had to eat the scroll. He had to reflect the Word for that age. You got it? And again in John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why? They couldn't reflect it. So they will not comprehend it. But seeing the light causes them much pain and anguish, because it exposes their sinful nature. Therefore they leave. Now we're looking at the thoughts that Brother Branham said concerning the masterpiece, that he said really was a reflection of what was in the mind, the very mind of God, the very mind of the sculptor. And you cannot have a reflection without having a light. For a light is what reflects. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us that the story from Exodus 33 and Exodus 34, where Moses stood face to face in the presence of the Lord. And when he came down from the mountain, his face so glowed with the Shekinah presence, reflecting from it, that the people feared and caused Moses to have to place a veil over his face. Now, it wasn't Moses they're afraid of. Who were they afraid of? The light that was reflecting from him. They wanted to shut out God. From Exodus 33 and verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And wouldn't you like to have that? Someday you will. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. In verse chapter 34, verse 35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face until he went to speak with them. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, after the apostle speaks of this episode with Moses and the people, he says to us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the Diagogue translation says, but we all, beholding the glory of the Lord in a face unveiled, are transformed into the same likeness from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. Now this glory to glory is from doxa to doxa, which the doxa is the opinion, assessment, and judgment of God. In other words, the very mind of God. In other words, when we're transformed from glory to glory, we're transformed from opinion to opinion, from judgment to judgment, from what we value to what He values, from what our will is to what His will is. That is why the Apostle Paul asked the question. He says, if we need letters of commendation, do we need letters of commendation from you or as from you? And then he says, no, he says, you yourselves are our letters of recommendation. Our credentials written in your heart to be perceived, recognized, known, and read of everybody. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of the human heart. Now, the problem that we see in the story told to us of Moses coming down from having been in the presence of the Lord and his face glowing, which was a reflection of the Shekinah presence, is that the people feared that presence. It was not Moses' face that they feared to look upon, but the reflection of God that they so feared. But if those people had just stood still long enough, they would have begun to reflect the same light that was reflecting from the face of Moses. And that's the key. For us to sit still, to stand still, as Brother Branham had. He had the sign written across his pulpit, across the top. Stand still, be still, and know that I am God. And had the people just stood still long enough and sat in the presence of the Son, they would have ripened. And today, if we would just lay in the presence of the light of His glorious presence and absorb the message of the hour which He brought with His presence, we too would begin to reflect the very nature of the Son of God, just as God Himself reflected His own nature through that uniquely born Son. That is why so many wanted to deify William Branham. He, like Moses, went up to the mountain, and he entered into the presence of God and came back a changed man, reflecting the very nature and purpose and will of God to the people of this hour. So a prophet is a reflector, as Brother Ram taught us. And as we saw also in the example the Apostle Paul laid out for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, about Moses. And we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, the same promise that we, you and I, shall reflect the image of the Son of God. The Amplified Version says, "And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the man from heaven." And that man from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, our older brother, in whose image we are to become conformed. Romans chapter 12, the second verse says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." He tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of God's eldest Son in Romans chapter 8. In Colossians 3 and verse 10, we read, "And having clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image of the likeness of him who created it." That's from the Amplified Version. So we see that we are a reflection, and our purpose here in this world is to become a perfect reflector of the Son of God. From his sermon, The Rapture, Brother Bram tells us, the bride has to be molded and made into the image of Christ, and Christ is the Word. That's the only thing, see? It's in there. It's in the Word. See, there cannot be one thing added. It cannot be a woman with a hand like a man and the other hand like a paw like a dog. It's got to be exactly the word of the Lord, like he is, because he is the Word. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. The woman is a part of the husband because she's taken out of the husband. Eve was a part of Adam from his side, and so was the bride, not taken from a denomination, but taken from the bosom of the Word of God for this hour. So God is transforming us by the renewing of our mind. How is he transforming us? By his word. From the spoken word is the original seed, Brother Bram said, then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creed or dogma. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. And he will act himself by his own word of promise so to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he came down, when he came from the virgin of the womb, the type of the spirit womb now. So will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me according to thy word. Though it was said by an angel while it was yet in the written word form, Isaiah 9 and 6, they will love him and love his and will have his potentials. For he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his headship. Headship of Christ was his. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father show him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5 and 19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah, and here is the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. That's where we're coming to. That's where we're to be at. The word is in the bride, and she has a mind to know what to do with that word. From Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Bram said, the thing that matters... The thing that's the matter with the message today is that those who obtain it in their hearts must lay in the presence of the sun to get ripened. See, you can pick up the message and then let the sun bake all the greenness out of you. See, make you matured Christians. You see what I mean? God's coming soon to receive his church, and we must have that type of Christians for him to receive. The wheat's got to get ripe. From Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, he said, but it's the things that you see in your spirit through the word. The word is God's looking glass that reflects what he is and what you are. And for man that can turn on the light. He said, oh God, if we can only understand that that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, his word made manifest. You are the reflection of his word, and from the indictment. And the word is the Messiah. You believe that? Well, the reflection of the word then is what? A reflecting of Messiah, which is the Holy Ghost among us. He's reflecting himself. He tries to, wherever he can find a lamp that he can look through that ain't smoked up with creeds and things, that he can give light through. I just have a few more, actually some pages of quotes. I'm just going to read you, referring to this. From Paul, a prisoner. And now when I see, like if you were sitting out there, usually stand talking, that means that you're living. But it's only a shadow of life, because anything has got to have darkness in it to make a shadow. See? Because a shadow has to possess so much darkness and so much light to make a shadow. And it can't be altogether dark, and it can't be altogether light. If it's dark, it's real dark. If it's light, then it is no shadow. Something to make a shadow. But if it's mixed with dark and light, it makes a shadow. So we are really shadows of light. Now, you are reflecting a light from somewhere. And if you're a Christian, this be your shadow. It only proves that there is a life where you can't die, because this life has death in it. See? But it is a shadow, because you're living, moving creature with abilities to see and think and move and talk and the five senses of the body. But yet, you know you're dying, and there's so much trouble. And you know it can only be, it's a reflection, see, that there is a life and death mixed together. The physical has to die. But if you are reflecting by your mortal life the light of heaven, then you're reflecting the eternal life of God. Then when you die, you can no more than go to that light, because that is what you've been reflecting. And if you are in the dark world, you reflect that, and you can do that. You go no other way but to the darkness. See? But so we are in a reflection. So we see that as sure as the Holy Spirit reflects light and life, so does death reflect darkness in here before God. So Brother Branham is just laying out for us that the very life that you live is a reflection of where you're going. And from Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, he said, now the only way to live a life worthy is to let Christ and his word, which he is the word, reflect itself so perfect in you till God vindicates that, he said, in the word. For Christ died that he might present himself before God a sacrifice, and it returned back in the form of the Holy Spirit to reflect himself through the people to carry on his work, reflecting himself through you to fulfill his promised word in these future days. Like John the Baptist heard when he heard Christ come. And Christ walked out into the water, and John said, behold the Lamb of God, and nobody else saw it. But he saw it, that light coming down from heaven like a dove. And from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram said, you see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey? Maybe you can remember it. You joined the church and joined this church and tried this and that. Nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day you just recognized it. And that's right. From the message, Go Tell, he said, it's going to be the attitude of the people towards the message. You see how he said it? She said just the right thing. It's what you say that does it. What you say. So if you're sitting around and grousing about the message and things like that, you know, you had better be careful, because he said, it's your attitude towards the message. You see, that's what will bring the result. From Do God a Service, he said, one day you'll see that one that you feel in your heart and see his identification will become personalized before you. Then you and he are one. You're united by the word, and the word was in the beginning will go back to the beginning, which is God. From Spoken Words, the original seed, he said, all right, now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of his kind, Genesis 1:11. These last days, a church bride comes to the headstone, will be a super church, a super race, as they near the great headstone. They will be much like, so much like him. Even they will be in his very image, in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. This will be, they will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and brings forth a hybrid. And from God's only provided place of worship, 61, he said, notice Enoch, God's perfect reflector and type. When God was through with him, he just translated him, took him up. The mechanics that he had reflected just become dynamics with the Spirit and took him up. The same in the days of Elijah. Elijah, even to his bones, where that reflector of God in his body being made manifest of the Word of God. And I think he meant Elisha, because Elijah's bones didn't hang around. We know that somebody threw a dead corpse on the bones of Elisha, and the man came running up out of the grave. So, God's only provided place of worship, Brother Brown said, it's the word reflecting and sparking off the age that you're living in. That's what he was. That's what Moses was. That's what Jacob was. That's what the rest of them was, sparking off that word of God, the reflector that God was reflecting himself, and come to that perfect image of God, Jesus Christ, God's masterpiece, was struck that he might take the rest of them for a bride that's been reflecting him. Moses was in him. Joshua was in him. And if you are in him, you are in him before the foundations of the world, the family of God. You suffered with him. You died with him. You went to the cross with him. You raised with him. And now you're sitting, you're still with him, sitting in heavenly places, reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light to the world. You are the light of the world. But if it's hid by the denominational bushel basket, how are you going to see it? See? For your traditions, you make the light of no effect. See, your tradition, your denomination, trying to keep the light away from your church. You won't go in. Neither will you let them go in. Amen. And from his, he that is in you. And that word is still the same word. And tonight we see it revealing itself to us. After 2,000 years, because he wrote it on the paper, and here it is confirming it, showing it that it's right. From the power of transformation, Brother Brown says, see, they don't have understanding anymore. The people just don't move by the Spirit of God anymore. God's Word is His Spirit, and His Word comes to His prophet. And the Word is supposed to transform you from what the things of the world are into the image of sons and daughters of God. And the world can only, and the Word can only come through these prophets as they spoke. Again, from the power of transformation, Brother Brown said, transforming yourself, His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word into its likeness. His word will bring forth sons and daughters of God. That's what it's supposed to do. Then the Spirit moved on him and sent him to Calvary, to the cross, to bring light in this day and light to all the predestinated seed to the church of this day, transforming sons and daughters of God into His presence. So you see, as Brother Branham got closer and closer, this message was preached on October 31st of 1965, the transforming power of God. You see how Brother Bram's sermons got closer and closer, and he's talking about this change of the body, the change of the soul, the change of the mind. From he that is in you, Brother Bram said, greater is he that's in you, Christ, than he that's in the world. Now, in the meeting where we touch him, he reflects himself back as the woman touched God through Christ and reflected back her need. From indictment, he said, and today by the light of God, of the gospel, reflecting from a light, a pillar of fire visibly seen among us. Science has seen it. It's in the magazine across the world. It's both scientifically and spiritually recognized as the same pillar of fire by the same signs and same things that it did always. When the light struck the rich young ruler, look what he did. He rejected. A smart man. Paul, another smart man. The light struck him. What did he do? He accepted it. He forgot it. All that he ever knew, that he might know Christ. From the invisible union, he said, Lord God, I'm asking the bride tonight, the ones that I feel has pulled away and waiting, may they separate themselves from everything of the world. May they just lay in the presence of the warm sunlight of the Son of God, bathing in His Word and His love. Granted, dear God. From Feast of the Trumpets, he said, the moon reflects the light of the earth, which is a type of the church. And what a reflection, what a message from God Himself, that these things are the truth, testified at first in His Word, then by the Spirit at the platform, and then He declared it from the heavens. From Hebrews chapter 3, He said, there's probably 10 or 15 men with Him. Did any of those men see that light? No, sir. Paul saw it. It wasn't designated for them men to see it. So some people can see things where others don't, see? So Paul saw the light in so much that it blinded him. And from the seals, Brother Ramsey, the church makes just a fun of the true bride of Christ as Rome ever did, just exactly acts to the real Lamb's bride, just exactly like it did in Revelations 13 and 4. Anyway, I've got several pages more, but I'm just going to close with this. Brother Ram's talking in the masterpiece and letting us know that the elect that when the great sculptor saw so much the image that was in his mind, in his vision, that he had toiled for so many years to bring forth. He was so excited, he spoke the word and said, speak. And we know that Jesus Christ, when he was taken up upon the mountain, God did the same thing. He struck him and he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And that Son of God went forth to be marred on a cross. So too, when God begins to see the very image of himself in his church, in his people, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord. He'll say, speak, and she'll have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand better that your great light is a reflection, that we are as reflectors reflecting that light. As Paul said, the things that we have, how do we have them except they were given to us? We know the word echo means the same thing, it reflect. And he said, he that echoes to him shall be, he shall have greater. Because an echo is a repeat. It brings more and more and more of the same. And so, Father, we just pray that in our life we would be a repeat of your Son. He is a firstborn, uniquely born Son. But we are sons. And Brother Branham said we must come as Jesus came. And so may we be that repeat. May we be that echo. May we be that reflection of your life that was in your Son. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, Lord, shine. The light from the light.